creating an emotive robotic face to inspire trust in telepresence and autonomous rehabilitation activities. Ekina 1, M. J. Sobrepera 1, C. Diana 4, M. J. Johnson 1, 2, 3, 1 Rehabilitation Robotics Lab, GRASP, University of Pennsylvania, 2 Department of Bioengineering, University of Pennsylvania, 3 Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation, Perelman School of Medicine, University of Pennsylvania, 4 The New School Introduction Motor Impairment Disorders, caused by disorders, such as cerebral palsy, or accidents throughout life, such as stroke, affect millions of people each year and cost billions of dollars for treatment and rehabilitation. 1. Even after initial treatment, many people suffering from such disorders will spend extended amounts of time in care facilities, undergoing further rehabilitation. Given the number of people suffering from these afflictions, as well as the cost of rehabilitation, it is simply not possible for therapists to be able to provide a quality rehabilitation service to every patient. 2. Thus, to both lighten the load on caregivers, as well as increase the quality of rehabilitation services, groups have begun efforts to implement robots in the rehabilitation process. These robots come in many different forms. The design of a robot is incredibly important to its function, especially in a scenario where there is minimal human supervision. If the design does not invoke confidence and trust in the human patient, they will not cooperate, and the robot will not be able to aid in rehabilitation no matter how helpful it is. 3. One method to invoke this trust is to create a robot that does not merely act as a device, but rather as a social agent, which interacts with the patient directly in the context of rehabilitation. In general, social robots have found success, especially among children. The therapist robot, which Lilflow takes inspiration from, for example, successfully acts as a social agent by participating in exercise games with children dynamically, altering its actions based on individual patients' needs. 4. In a study by Caldera et al., the children seem to react well to therapist, not rejecting or moving away from the robot, and moving and speaking fluently and naturally around it. Although it cannot be directly quantified, these actions seem to indicate a degree of trust from the child's subjects towards therapist. 4. The version of therapist used in the study is based on a bear, and it is thus not able to emote to the extent a human would, primarily due to the lack of a human face. Since most of human emotional expression comes through the face, a non-human face is an inherent disadvantage. If this version of therapist was able to inspire such trust, then the rationale is that, as research suggests, a humanoid robot would be able to inspire even greater trust, and the performing of human-like activities such as emoting would only increase this bond of trust. 3. The therapist group seems to have similar thoughts, as they have since moved to the more humanoid nail robot as a base. We wish to take the success of the therapist system even further and create a social humanoid robot with greater emotional capacity than the therapist. One of the most recognizable factors of our previous attempt at a socially assistive robot, Figure 2, Flo's face was that fact that it was static. 2. Many robotic faces either remain static or utilize mechanically driven emotive systems, for example mechanical muscles. 3. We believe that the use of a digitally emotive face would be beneficial to robot-patient interactions. When compared to a static face, we have begun to work on Lilflow, a successor to Flo that, among other features, would have a digitally emotive face, as opposed to a static or mechanically emotive one. Other robots, such as Baxter and Tega, have also tried a similar approach to their face design, but their size and forms mean they fulfill inherently different roles than what Lilflow is designed to do. 5. 6. We will now move towards explaining Lilflow's generalized role, and the design decisions that arose because of this role. Lilflow's purpose. Lilflow is the successor to the original Flow project, and is designed to be a hybrid telepresence and autonomous rehabilitation aid. It will be comprised of two parts, the base, which acts as the telepresence portion, and comes with a screen to allow patients to communicate directly with the therapist over long distances, and a humanoid portion, which acts as the semi autonomous rehabilitation aid, and interacts directly with the patient through exercise games and limited conversation, potentially without the need for direct supervision by therapists in the far future. In the short term, Lilflow will be able to interact with patients in a limited fashion, through pre-programmed movements and voice lines, but steps are being taken to implement greater autonomy in Lilflow. This autonomy would allow it to dynamically formulate and change a rehabilitation plan based on the capabilities of the patient, as well as meet patients directly in remote areas. without requiring supervision. Success with Flow in the past has indicated that there is potential for a robot of this style, too. However, the Nair robot that acts as Flow's base, while very effective, also has a very steep price tag associated with it, often costing thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. LilFlow is meant to be a cost-effective project that can be used in a variety of situations and environments, which do not possess the resources to purchase or maintain something so expensive. However, LilFlow is also planned to be a highly actuated robot, potentially capable of near-complete autonomous behavior, and so cheaper off-the-shelf robots are unlikely to have the capability to handle what LilFlow needs to do. Thus, we find a need to develop our own robot, constructed from relatively cheap and easy-to-procure materials, to keep the price of LilFlow in the hundreds of dollars, rather than the thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. Going forward, we will focus on the general design and process behind LilFlow's current phase, which we believe to be crucial to LilFlow's success as an emotive robot. Methods current designs considerable progress has already been made on potential designs for LilFlow. The basic logic behind LilFlow's aesthetic is simplicity, which allows patients, particularly pediatric patients, to feel like they can relate and bond with LilFlow without being overwhelmed. At the same time, this avoids a directly human-like design, as these often fall into the uncanny valley, and do not evoke positive emotions. 3. This simplicity allows the face to be the driving factor to creating that bond, so the face's aesthetic has been carefully crafted. One part of this is that the face uses LEDs to convey emotional state. This is because we believe that the use of LEDs both allows LilFlow to more easily convey a wider range of emotions than mechanically driven emotive faces, while at the same time keeping the simple, clean aesthetic that we desired from LilFlow. In addition to the face, the general head shape of LilFlow was designed in an attempt to evoke comfort. The current design was chosen from a host of other conceptual designs, some modeled after the faces of children, some more flat or rounded. Figure 3. The current shape was eventually selected as it provided a good balance between an overly simplistic design and a fully human-like design, as it maintained something of an abstract form, while still retaining human-like features. We find this to be an acceptable balance between the familiarity of a human and the comfort of a toy. Figure 4. Until the uncanny valley is reached, the inclusion of human-like traits generally has a positive effect on the acceptance of a given aesthetic. 3. The ideal, therefore, is to find a balance where the robot has enough human traits to allow the subject to bond effectively with it, while also not appearing too human, which would drive people away. This line of logic led to, for example, the addition of the ears that LilFlow has. They are, in keeping with the design philosophy, relatively simple constructs, spherical shapes that attach to the sides of the head. The idea of adding the structures was purely based on aesthetics, with the idea that the existence of these ears would help add human qualities to what had thus far been a humanoid, but certainly not human-like, head, while giving patients the impression that the robot can hear them. Nonetheless, a straw poll was taken among members of the Rehabilitation Robotics Lab, comparing the design with ears and the design without ears. Small-scale shells of both designs were 3D printed, to give voters a full view of both heads from all angles. Ultimately, the lab unanimously voted in favor of the ears. The design process is always based on two major factors, functionality and aesthetic. Functionality is considered first, and involves considering what would help LilFlow be able to perform its duties effectively, and what would hinder it, the durability of the design, the ease and cost of assembly, and whether LilFlow is capable of moving are all part of the umbrella of functionality. After that, the aesthetic is considered, as has been stated above. We have already decided on an appropriate aesthetic for LilFlow. To have any part of LilFlow not match this aesthetic could produce an immediate negative reaction from the patient, or to the creation of false expectations for LilFlow's capabilities, leading to a general loss of trust and cooperation once these expectations are shattered. 3. Thus, it is paramount to make sure that any addition to LilFlow maintains a consistent aesthetic. This involves analyzing many functions of a given part, including its appearance in relation to the rest of Flow, any and all sounds it may make, and what information a given part may convey. Mechanical design. Early on, we found a need to determine how we would like to partition LilFlow's head. We decided early on that LilFlow should be designed with the idea that it can easily be taken apart and put back together when needed, to allow for modularity and easy replacement of both the internal components and the head structure, potentially reducing costs. This required that the head be partitioned, making it multiple parts, and allowing us to easily open Lilflo's head and retrieve or replace what we needed to. We went through several iterations that bisected the head from various planes, but found that many of them created new complications in the design that would have made the assembly of Lilflo lack both durability and accessibility, particularly in the screen area. Eventually, we decided on a more rounded cut around Lilflo's forehead, figure 5. This kept the cut from making the assembly of the face more difficult, while also maintaining the aesthetic appeal of Lilflo. That is, the cut creates something of a crude hairline for Lilflo reminiscent of human heads, but once again avoids creating a realistic human-like appearance. Lilflo's face is an epoxy resin, tinted to a smoky black color using colorant, that is cast directly into a completed head. Since Lilflo's eyes and mouth are represented by relatively bright LEDs, steps were taken to obscure the internals, which in turn gives us the ability to construct the internals of Lilflo's head as we please. However, we found that simply adding too much colorant led to the color becoming too strong for the LEDs to shine through. Additionally, since we were using relatively small amounts of epoxy to create the screen, the ratio of colorant to epoxy became a matter of great importance to the project. Due to a lack of sufficient data correlating volume of colorant to volume of epoxy, we developed our own methods, both to find colorant to epoxy ratio for our needs, as well as methods to add very small amounts of colorant. For example, due to the relatively low volume of epoxy we need, we found that even the minimal amount of colorant that could be applied via a supplied dropper was far too much. We therefore formulated a method of chain diluting colorant epoxy mixtures, or taking small amounts of mixture with relatively large concentrations of colorant, and diluting it with epoxy that lacked colorant. Through this, we were able to achieve acceptable levels of transparency for our face interior, since the face is designed to be smoky, which obscures the internals. We are not required to focus on the aesthetic of the head's interior, as it will never be seen. Thus, everything about the face internals is based on the mechanics of the design. The main considerations for the internals of the head were that it be able to be assembled or disassembled quickly and easily, and that it be robust. To aid in both, efforts were made to make the internal design as rigid as possible, so that it would not move under expected loads. Because of this design philosophy, we opted to go for a branching type design, where a small platform is in the center of the head, which attaches to the neck and allows for rotation, and acts as a hub of sorts, with all other parts of the head internals branching off of this platform, including the supports. Figure 6. Conclusion: as we develop Lilflo's aesthetic, we are also developing the functions that will allow Lilflo to perform the socially assistive role that it is designed for. This includes methods by which Lilflo can see and focus on patients, noticing unnatural movements or behaviors far more easily than a human eye, in order for these functions to be fully utilized. However, the patient must first be able to accept the presence of Lilflo without significant issue. This is doubly true if Lilflo is to be interacting directly with the patient through exercise games, as we intend. Thus, we have conveyed the aesthetic decisions that we believe will be most beneficial to Lilflo's functions and future success. References: 1. Johnson, M. J. 2006. Recent trends in robot-assisted therapy environments to improve real-life functional performance after stroke. Journal of Neuroengineering and Rehabilitation. 3. 1. 29. 2. Wilk, R. and Johnson, M. J. 2014. August. Usability feedback of patients and therapists on a conceptual mobile service robot for inpatient and home-based stroke rehabilitation in Biomedical Robotics and Biomechatronics. 2014 5th IEEE Ross and IMPS International Conference on, pages 438-443, IEEE, 3, Blow, M., Dottinden, K., Appleby, A., Nehunab, C., L., and Lee, D., 2006, March, The Art of Designing Robot Faces, Dimensions for Human-Robot Interaction, in Proceedings of the 1st ACMSIGCH ISIGERT Conference on Human-Robot Interaction. Pages 331-332, ACM, 4, Quilderda, L., V., Bustos, P., Mejias, C., S., Fernandez, F., and Bandera, A., 2013, May, Therapist, Towards an Autonomous Socially Interactive Robot for Motor and Neurorehabilitation Therapies for Children, in Pervasive Computing Technologies for Healthcare, Pervasive Health, 2013 7th International Conference on, pages 374-377, IEEE, 5. Fitter, N. T. Ann Kockenbecker, K. J. 2016, November. Designing and Assessing Expressive Open Source Faces for the Baxter Robot, in International Conference on Social Robotics, pages 340-350, Springer, Cham, 6, Corey Westlund, J, Lee, J, Plummer, L, Faraday, F, Gray, J, Berlin, M, and Dos Santos, K, 2016, March, Tega, a Social Robot, in the 11th ACMIEE International Conference on Human-Robot Interaction, pages 561-561, IEEE Press.